today's episode of the Brains Bite Back podcast, we speak with Jose Torres, co-founder of LongFi Solutions, a company that deploys decentralized infrastructure to enable low-cost, last-mile connectivity essential for local communities. In this episode, you will learn about Jose's backstory, along with how he joined LongFi Solutions, and he also shares the story behind the name LongFi Solutions. We also speak about the limitations of the conventional telecommunications business model, such as high capital costs, limited profitability, coordination challenges, and slow expansion. And Jose also shares solutions based on blockchain and crypto that I think you'll find very interesting. I hope you enjoyed today's episode.
First of all, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. So my name is Jose Torres. I was born in Medellin, Colombia, and I moved to the States, to Miami, with my family when I was about 10 years old. I then completed a degree in aerospace engineering, and I worked for the oil and gas industry for about 4 years. At that time, I went back to get a master's degree in mechanical engineering. And then I started working for a water desalination company for about 3 years. And I learned that water desalination is pretty much COVID-proof, recession-proof. So that's a really good industry to study from an investment standpoint. And it was around this time that I was first introduced into Bitcoin. And that completely blew my mind as an intellectual topic. It became sort of like my favorite intellectual topic. And really, that sort of like started my drive to seek something outside of the corporate environment, of the corporate world, and drove me to focus all of my attention in sort of like the decentralized blockchain-powered ecosystems that we'll have to discuss in a little bit. And today, Sam, I am a co-founder at LongFi Solutions. And at LongFi Solutions, we are focused in creating more reliable and accessible connectivity through the deployment of decentralized wireless infrastructure, or DWI infrastructure for short, which are pretty much antennas or radios that provide 4G, 5G communication networks.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, because I don't think that this is DY. It's not something that we've covered before on the show. At least I don't have any knowledge of it. I don't know if our listeners do. So I'm really excited to get into this and learn something new. And before we do get into it, I want to know, when and how did LongFi Solutions first start?
Oh yeah, that's the origin story. Yeah, for sure. So around 2019, a San Francisco-based company called Helium released sort of like the first DWI, or decentralized wireless ecosystem, which in a nutshell motivates individual entities to deploy small antennas that would earn cryptocurrency by providing connectivity in the Internet of Things, or IoT realm, to their surrounding communities. So our one of their first launch sites was Austin, and Josh Heller, our founder and CEO of LongFi Solutions, was into the space, and he attended one of their first events and purchased one of these hotspots, or one of the Helium antennas. And he quickly realized that there was a huge potential in this technology. So he took it maybe as a side hustle and started purchasing more and more hotspots, deploying them at friends, at families. And then rather quickly, it continued to grow. And so he partnered with Andrew, he's the other co-founder, and the operations grew pretty quickly, and that's when they formally incorporated LongFi Solutions. Then I met Andrew playing volleyball. Beach volleyball is probably my favorite pastime. And we started, you know, casually talking about cryptocurrency. Then we talked about Helium, and we realized that we were both into Helium. And just like Bitcoin did, Helium sort of like blew my mind. And I started getting more into it. I started learning more about it. It turns out that LongFi Solutions had an interest in deploying this Helium infrastructure in Colombia and in South America. And I also had that interest, but I didn't have the right equipment for it because Colombia operates at a different frequency. All my equipment was meant for the US. But LongFi Solutions did have the right equipment, but they didn't have the right contacts, or the local knowledge, or the business development contacts to do a deployment. So we partnered up. I partnered up with LongFi Solutions, and I said, okay, we can do a pilot project in Medellin. So we all flew down there. In a matter of like 3 days, we deployed about 10 hotspots in Medellin, which has a perfect topography for it, because these antennas work the best when they're sort of like, when they have a good field of view. And if you have ever been in Medellin, you know that there's sort of like mountains all around the city, which give you a perfect panoramic view to spread out or to provide connectivity. So Sam, that deployment campaign went excellent. Then we all came back to the States. I came back to sort of like my daytime job with this water desalination company. At the time, I was an engineering manager for the research and development sector, and I was pretty happy, you know. When I get a phone call from Andrew, he's like, hey man, let's go out, have lunch, we wanna talk to you. And he's like, we really loved what we did in Medellin. We want you to help us do that same thing, but in all of South America. And I was just like, wow, okay. Like, I had been thinking about exiting the corporate world for a while. I had been flirting with the idea of moving back to South America. And I definitely wanted to move into the decentralized and cryptocurrency landscape. So for this, for me, it was the perfect opportunity. And so, you know, without much deliberation, I said, all right, let's pivot. And this happened roughly a bit more than a year. This happened in March of 2022. And so that's kind of like how LongFi Solutions started. It started with Andrew and Josh pretty much as a hobby, but then it quickly grew into what we are today, which is an international operations telecommunications company.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations with all this success. And it's so wonderful to see that your passion has aligned with what you've been able to do. That's really nice to see. And also, it's great to speak with someone that's actually involved here in Medellin. It's so nice to see that you're like actually here. I so often speak with people in the US or other parts of the world. So it's a real rarity to actually have someone here that is working basically in my backyard.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to know, like, what is the story behind the name LongFi Solutions?
Right. So LongFi is actually a name of a protocol. It's a communications protocol that the Helium, the San Francisco company that started sort of like the decentralized wireless movement, they created a protocol that basically combines an existing protocol, which is called LoRaWAN. And LoRaWAN stands for Long Range Wide Area Network, which is the you know how we have Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, 4G, 5G. These are all different communications protocols. LoRaWAN is the telecommunications protocol for the Internet of Things. So think about sensors, devices, temperature sensors, humidity sensors, any type of sensor that needs to communicate over long distances, but it just needs to send very low bandwidth data. This is the protocol they use. And then what Helium did is that they got this LoRaWAN protocol, and they combined it they integrated it into the Helium blockchain ecosystem, so that all of these devices, when they're talking to each other, they're actually going through a blockchain, through the Helium blockchain. And so LongFi came out of sort of like the combination between LoRaWAN and maybe Wi-Fi or just Fi for fun. And when the team learned about it, they said, okay, we're going to be sort of like focused on the IoT implementation. So LongFi Solutions, that's sort of like where the name came from. And today our company has grown far beyond the IoT protocol, but you know, the name has a nice ring to it. We call the company LongFi for short, and it just has grown on us. So that's sort of like the origin story of the name.
I like it. Maybe I'm a bit biased because I love listening to lo-fi music when I study. So I maybe have a preference for that kind of sound of name, but it's really nice. And I also want to know, like, with LongFi Solutions, I've seen on the blog that you have many posts talking about the DeWe ecosystem. And in one of them, you mentioned the DeWe blockchains. Now, you've kind of spoken about this a little bit already on the show, but can you explain what the DeWe ecosystem is, and also, Shane, what DeWe blockchains are?
Absolutely, Pam. So this is where we really get into sort of like the what's the differentiating factor of what's going on here in this new movement that makes it really unique and very interesting from a telecommunications and connectivity standpoint. So in short, DeFi is an exciting new sector that leverages tools from the blockchain and crypto tech stack to enable disruptive and innovative ways to deploy a telecommunications network. Now, to really capture and understand the value of this new sector and why it's important, I'd like to sort of like talk about four topics. The first one is that it's good to understand how the conventional telecommunications model, business model works, how the deployment works, so where we are without DeFi. Then I'd like to mention a few of the limitations of the current business model, because this serves as the motivation to do something different, right? So what are the limitations of the conventional traditional model in meeting the growing connectivity needs of humanity around the world? And after we understand it, then we can say, okay, how does this blockchain or crypto tech stack help in overcoming these challenges? And this is where DeFi arises. And then finally, I'd like to give some examples of sort of like where the DeFi ecosystem is and what are the actual ecosystems or blockchains that are functioning. So I'm gonna start with the first part, which is just forget about DeFi, forget about this coordinates technology. How are we doing things now? And you know, it's the telecommunications world, especially the 4G or the 3G, 4G, 5G, they work in a very centralized fashion, and they work sort of like behind closed doors. So the way I like to think about it is that they pretty much divide the world into two parts. One part is sort of like the elite class. Think about all the high dollar investors, all the people that sort of have control of the means of deploying and of creating and innovating. So they're sort of like in their own little world, investing, deploying, maintaining, selling, and profiting. And then on the other side of the wall, we have sort of like the consumer class, which really just consumes. The consumers are never invited to take part in the innovation. We're never invited to take part of the deployment, and we're certainly never invited to take part in the profit of a new technology, right? And so this leads us to the second part, which is, okay, what's wrong with the business model, and what's wrong with it from a, how can we meet the world's growing connectivity needs? And so the first limitation is that deploying telecommunication equipment requires a massive amount of capital, especially if you're doing it in a centralized way. So think about your AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. In Colombia, we have Tigo, Movistar, Claro. All these companies have a very high overhead cost per installation or per deployment. Think about having to go to a tall building, deploying your operations team, all their payroll, the liability of the bureaucracy, the contracts. It's really an expensive operation for these big companies. And what this does is that it limits the deployments to only the profitable areas. And unfortunately, what this causes is that there are many non-profitable areas that just get left behind the technology curve. They don't get included in the latest technology because it's not profitable from an operating or business standpoint for these companies to go deploy everywhere. So they're limited in their range because of these high capital costs and because they're liable to their investing community and they need to meet certain profit margins, right? So that's the first limitation of this conventional business model. There's also a high degree of coordination needed across wide geographies and jurisdictions that decentralized companies need to abide by. And so this limits the speed of the expansion. Think about AT&T trying to expand into even within the United States. These companies have to meet different requirements for different states, sometimes even different cities. Which makes their expansion very slow, not to talk about their international efforts to expand. Now that brings on a whole other degree of limitations as far as regulations, the tax aspect, and so forth. So limited in where they can expand because profitability, their speed is limited as well because of the things that I mentioned. And then the final example that I'll give, which is one of the main drivers for the decentralized approach, is the following. You've heard about the term 5G before, right, Sam? Like, yeah, everybody wants 5G. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about that transition from 4G or LTE, which stands for long-term evolution, which really doesn't mean anything in technical terms. It's just like 4G plus. So we've been in 4G plus for about the last 6-7 years. We've had 4G for around that same time. But when we transition to 5G, we're transitioning to 5G because 5G can carry a lot more data. It's much faster. It's about an order of magnitude faster than 4G. However, this does not come for free, right? There's always engineering trade-offs. So yes, 5G is about 10 times faster compared to 4G, but 5G has a range that is 5 to 10 times lower than 4G. So if your typical 4G signal can cover maybe 2 mile radius, your 5G signal can cover 5 to 10 times lower than that. And this brings about a very monumental challenge for the big telecommunications industry, because let's say that AT&T, and these are just numbers to make the example easier, but let's say, for example, that AT&T has 100 4G radios to cover, I don't know, the city of Miami, right? So if they want to provide the city of Miami with 5G, that means they would have to 5x or 10x their radio deployment density. And that means they would need from 500 to 1,000 radios to provide 5G coverage. So 5G radios, you need a lot more of them. You need to place them more strategically because they don't go through walls as well as 4G does. So this creates a huge operational and business challenge for the big telco industries, again, because their deployment costs on a unit basis are very, very high. So those are some of the limitations that we have with the current business model. So, okay, so next we can think about, all right, so we know how things are done today. We know the limitations of how things are done today. Now what tools do we have at our disposal to overcome these challenges? And so at the heart or at the core of a decentralized approach is the belief that we can and we should eliminate that wall between sort of like the controlling elite or the innovation class and the rest of the world. The decentralization aims to spread innovation at the edge. So in a decentralized ecosystem like decentralized wireless, the ecosystem invites absolutely every individual to participate in the innovation, in the deployment, in the improvement of the entire system from the start, and to also take a piece of the profits proportional to the individual's contribution. So from a philosophical standpoint, to me, this makes a lot of sense because we're leveraging everybody or anybody that's interested, that has the passion, that has the know-how, that has a little bit of capital and time to contribute to make a wider, a more efficient ecosystem compared to the centralized approach, right? So in this case, cryptocurrencies or blockchains are needed sort of and are used as the unifying layer that makes this ecosystem work as one single organism composed of many individual entities, right? And I'll give you one example of how we could not do this with the conventional financial tools, because to me, whenever I learn about a new crypto or blockchain project, one of the first questions that I like to ask or that I like to research is, can we do this without crypto? Can we do it without blockchain? And if the answer is yes, then I'm not a fan of using blockchain just for the fun of it, you know? I think that if we can do things without complexities, without the latest cutting edge technology, which we definitely should. But again, I'm gonna give you an example of how the decentralized wireless ecosystem needs and leverages the cryptocurrency that we have. So in the Helium ecosystem, each antenna
or the each antenna owner gets a micropayment in real time by each individual end user for each time they use the service. So for example, we're both in Medellin. Let's say you have your Helium antenna on your balcony. I have my Helium antenna on my balcony. And there's a person that owns a taxi fleet. Maybe they have 10, 20 taxis going around Medellin, picking people up, or Ubers or whatever. And they all have sensors that are connected to the Helium network on the IoT sector. It might be velocity, GPS, it might be oil temperature. And so each time one of these taxis passes by your antenna, Sam, the antenna charges the taxi owner a micropayment, and it sends the taxi owner the data, and the taxi owner sends you, the owner of the antenna, a micropayment. And then the taxi continues going around the city and it sees my antenna. It does the same thing. So each time it uses the service of an antenna, it provides a micropayment automatically in real time, and then the data is transferred to the sensor owner. So this means that in one single day, your antenna could transfer data from hundreds or thousands of different users in terms of micropayments. Let's say that its micropayment is less than 1 cent. So now you go and you take this business idea to Visa, MasterCard, Bancolombia, and you say, hey guys, you know, I have this project. I'm planning on making thousands of transactions per day. They're gonna say, hey Sam, sit down. You want something to drink? We definitely want your business. And then you tell them, yeah guys, but each of these payments is gonna be less than 1 cent. They're gonna look at you weird. They're gonna think you're crazy, because they know that each time they make a payment through their system, it costs them about 5 to 10 cents. So if you're transferring something lower than the cost, then it doesn't make sense for them. But then you tell them, oh, and actually many of those users are not registered in the financial system, right? Like their antennas or their sensors, they're not really people with like a root number or a social security number or a bank account. They're just entities. And then they're gonna probably throw you out of their office because, you know, they can't do business with you. So that is one example of how the current financial payment system cannot handle what our imagination is already thinking of, because we want to stream money as if it were data, as if it were this podcast. I want to do it many times a day. I want to do micropayments. I want to do real-time payments to entities that, and I don't want the burden of having to register all of the users with a bank account that has fees and that has overhead charges and everything. So this is one example that I really like to highlight of how this type of decentralized wireless ecosystem necessitates a new type of payment technology, and that is brought about by the cryptocurrency and blockchain technologies. So that's one example I wanted to highlight. And finally, I just want to share a little bit of the current status or the current state of the DY ecosystems or the DY blockchains that are currently active and functioning. So first, the main one is Helium. The Helium network was launched in 2019. And Sam, in less than 3 years, this network became the largest contiguous IoT network in history, with close to 1 million deployments in over 170 countries. So when you stop to think about that, you say, there's no company that has achieved this in a centralized fashion. There's no company that operates in these many jurisdictions. There's no company that has this much IoT coverage in the world, in the history of humans. And it happened in just 3 years. So this is a proof of concept. This proves that through the right incentives and the right ecosystem, we can motivate individuals all over the world to take action in the physical world, to actually go on top of the roof, on their balcony, deploy a hotspot, make sure it's working, because they're motivated by the monetary incentive. And they're also motivated by providing connectivity to the community around them, right? So companies like Helium and Xnet are now that we proved this concept, companies are using the same technique, but now they're thinking about the 5G networks across the US. How can we leverage the same type of incentivized monetary and cryptocurrency system to bring individuals together into a collective organism that works to create a widespread, efficient telecommunication infrastructure. Now, LongFi Solutions plays a key role in this effort as an infrastructure deployer. So just for clarity, LongFi Solutions does not program the blockchain. We do not build the antennas or design the antennas, but the role that we play is that we purchase the antennas, we find the best locations to deploy them, and we complete the installation. We do the whole business cycle, sales cycle, customer acquisition, and we ensure that we're providing a good service to the community by keeping these antennas up and running. And we provide a payment to the host. So let's say that you in Medellin own several properties, or you know somebody that does, then we'll be interested in talking to you and saying, hey, if we deploy these antennas here, first of all, you're going to be providing better connectivity to the users. And second, you're going to get passive income by letting us use a little bit of your roof or a little bit of your balcony. So that's a rundown of what sort of like the DY ecosystem is, why it's important, what problems are we solving in this new sector.
I'm definitely understanding this a lot more now. And I think that example that you gave with the taxis really makes it very clear. And it's obvious to me that there are incumbents in this market. There are people that have been around for a long time, like you mentioned AT&T in the US, and then like Claro down here in Medellin or Colombia. And you obviously mentioned how like you're almost like disrupting this conventional sort of like market. Are you the only ones doing this, or are there other companies operating in this space who are disrupting things and like breaking new ground? And if you are, if there are others, how do you differentiate yourself from the competition?
Totally. So I think there's a couple of points to expand on with that question. First, I'd like to talk about the relationship of, let's say, sort of like the two big industries, which are the incumbents, which are AT&T, Claro, and all these big telco. We call them big telco. And what is their interplay with the decentralized wireless companies or movement, which is Helium and another company called XNet. And their interplay right now is very complementary. So they're not in direct competition with one another, because what happens, Sam, is that what AT&T and T-Mobile care the most about, their biggest challenge is customer retention. Because as soon as people, at least here in the US and in many parts of the world, as soon as the user notices that they have bad signal, they start thinking about switching. And then the other companies pay for your cancellation fees, they give you a new phone, they give you a better plan. So the turnover of these companies is a really, really big problem for them. So the last thing they want is their users not having a reliable, strong connection when they're out and about. And like I mentioned before, when we go from 4G to 5G, this problem is going to become even worse, because these companies do not have the operating muscle to densify their cities with the 5G deployments. So here comes the DY movement, and the DY movement comes with the following proposal. They say, hey, and actually Helium and T-Mobile already have a partnership, and it works like this. It's quite complementary. So Helium tells T-Mobile, okay, let's do the following. I'm gonna roll out a Helium phone plan. So Helium is now the first crypto carrier, as they call it. And whenever their users, the Helium users, are within range of a Helium 5G antenna, then they're gonna use that Helium 5G antenna. The owner of the 5G antenna is gonna get paid based on how much people use it. But whenever there is not a Helium 5G antenna around, that phone user is going to go to a T-Mobile antenna. So at the beginning, Helium is bringing users to the T-Mobile infrastructure, because at this point, there is not an overwhelming amount of Helium deployments. However, as time goes on, the expectation is that the decentralized approach is going to densify much faster than the centralized approach. And at that point, whenever a T-Mobile user is not in range of a T-Mobile radio, but is in range of a 5G Helium radio, then the opposite happens. T-Mobile will ask Helium, hey, can my users roam onto your service seamlessly without them taking any notice. Because what T-Mobile wants is for their users to have connectivity, even if it's not through their own hardware or their own infrastructure. So this makes it so that the two ecosystems are complementing each other. And I think this is going to play out for the next 4 to 6 years. And then I'm sure we're going to get to a point where the space is going to be filled up, and then there's going to be some competition, and that's going to be very interesting. How does the decentralized approach compete with the centralized approach? So that's sort of like the player arrangement or the game theory in the next 4 years at the highest level. So AT&T's and decentralized ecosystem. Now, if we focus on the decentralized ecosystem entirely, and we take LongFi solution and the other LongFis of this ecosystem, yes, there are other companies like ours. The good thing here is that the space is so nascent that we have more of a collaborative or a healthy competition with other companies like us. For example, we're a Houston-based company, and we're hyper-focused on Houston, San Antonio, Denver, and Miami. So whenever we have locations in those areas, we deploy our own equipment. But many times we get locations that are, let's say, in Los Angeles or in San Francisco or in New York. It's not the best thing for us to go and expand our operational footprint to those states. But if we know companies that are doing the same thing on those states, then we can partner up and say, hey, look, we'll give you this location. You're local. You know it better. You have your teams. You have boots on the ground, so take these locations and we might do an arrangement. And the contrary is also true. We've had companies approach us and say, hey, look, we're out of Ohio, but we have these locations in Houston. Do you want to take them? And so for now, the competition is quite healthy. But again, I think over time, as more companies join and as these companies start to grow in their footprint, there's bound to be clashes. And again, I think within 4 to 6 years, we are going to start seeing a little bit more competition, even within the DeFi space. Now, at that time, what is going to differentiate LongFi? Well, first of all, we were there from the start. So Josh, our CEO, he installed the first Helium hotspot in the city of Houston, and the city of Houston is right now like the fourth or fifth city with most hotspots in the world. And we have developed a good relationship with all the other key players in the ecosystem. So you have the blockchain developers at Helium, the blockchain developers at XNet. We have good working relationships with them. And then we have very good relationship as well with sort of like the real estate owners in some of these cities. And we're continuing to develop those strategic relationships, because at the end of the day, what we need is four things. We need technical expertise, which LongFi has from the beginning, operational know-how on what is the best way to deploy this hardware, which we already have as well. Then about 3 weeks ago, we closed or we got a funding round. So now we have capital. And then the last thing we need is locations. So we've been talking about sort of like this cutting edge technology, cryptocurrency, telecommunication, 4G, 5G. But the truth is that real estate assets, which are conventionally like the oldest way to invest, it might seem a little bit boring, but the truth is that this ecosystem does not work without the real estate component to it, because that's where we deploy our antennas. This is something that is physical infrastructure. So we have developed sort of like a well-rounded ecosystem and partnerships all the way from the tech side into the real estate and sort of like business relationship. And I think that's what's going to differentiate us in the long run. We're gathering a good sort of like license to operate, and we want to be the partner of choice for the best locations in the cities that we're focusing on.
I think it's awesome that you're able to partner. That's fantastic. That's really nice to see that collaboration amongst you folks. And yeah, I've really enjoyed this conversation. We have come to the end of our time, but before we go, I would love to know, Jose, if people want to keep up with the work that you're doing, what's the best place for them to go to? Where would you recommend they follow?
Absolutely. So we're quite active on Twitter. Our CEO Josh loves Twitter, and he keeps up with it, and he posts a lot of what we're doing on Twitter. And then we also have our website, which is longfisolutions.com, where we have a brief explanation of what we do, how we do it, and also especially if your audience, if in one of the cities listening, wondering how they can participate, how they can contribute to this, they can definitely reach out via the website, or they can shoot me an email at jose@longfisolutions.com. Again, we're actively looking to expand the network, and we're actively looking to create a business model that benefits everybody that is involved in creating better and more accessible connectivity for these communities.
Growing a company has many hurdles, from securing funding to expanding your business capabilities to ranking better on search. Each business challenge is uniquely complex. The solution to these challenges is growth-focused digital PR and marketing, and that is where our sponsor, Publicize, comes in. Publicize sets itself apart from traditional PR companies. It does not charge large retainers or churns out press releases, whether you've got a newsworthy announcement or not. Publicize builds businesses' online presence and gets high-quality PR and media coverage for startups and entrepreneurs who are priced out of a broken PR industry. What's more, listeners of Brains Bite Back can find the tools and resources they need to overcome common hurdles that many startups face when trying to generate long-term growth by visiting publicize.co/BBB. That's publicize.co/BBB. That is it for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. I hope you've learned something, and if you have benefited from today's episode, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, as these reviews really help us grow the show. You can also follow us wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. Just search Brains Bite Back and you will find us. We hope you join us for more episodes in the future, and until then, take care.